The reading today is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, good morning once again, and once again a very happy Easter to you all. Let me start this morning with a very simple observation. Before the service started earlier, I was standing outside and just commenting on the beautiful sunshine that we had. Lovely spring weather. So it may be daylight now, but Easter morning begins in the dark. Easter morning always begins in the dark. John tells us But early on the first day of the week, on the Sunday, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb of Jesus. Now, maybe we can relate to that because for many of us, life doesn't always feel like bright sunshine and daffodils, does it? Sometimes life can feel a bit like walking in the dark. And so Mary is grieving because she's lost Jesus. She's lost her friend. She's lost her teacher. She's lost her hope, the one who changed her life so dramatically. She's lost him. And now even his body seems to be gone. So she runs to the disciples in a panic and she says, "They've taken the Lord and we don't know where they have put him." So that's the first Easter reaction. It's not joy or celebration. The first Easter reaction that we read about is confusion and distress. And I think that's quite comforting, really, because sometimes people assume that Christianity, that the Christian faith, is for people who've got it all together, who've got their lives sorted out. But the very first Easter morning is full of people who are baffled, they're upset, and they're honestly feeling a bit lost. And then we get this slightly amusing moment. I need to point this bit out. With Peter and John running to the tomb. So John, who wrote this gospel, helpfully tells us that he outran Peter. You've got to love that detail, haven't you? Because it's been nearly 2,000 years. And John still wants us to know, just for the record, I was faster than Peter. It must have been so competitive, those two. So even in the middle of the greatest event in history, human nature is still human nature. But when they arrive, they find something strange. They find the stone rolled away, the grave clothes just lying there. Not disturbed, not chaotic, just empty. It was as if death had quietly packed its bags and left. So the disciples go home. Again, they're baffled, confused. But Mary stays. And she stands outside the tomb, crying. And that's where the real heart of this story is. She sees two angels and they ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And then Jesus himself, although she doesn't yet recognize him, asks the same question, "Why are you crying?" That's such a gentle question. She wasn't asked, "Why don't you have more faith?" Or, "Why don't you pull yourself together?" Just, "Why are you crying?" And then everything changes in a single moment when Jesus says her name, Mary. That's all it takes. Not a sermon, not a deep theological explanation of what's just happened. Just her name, Mary. And suddenly she recognizes him. "Rabboni, teacher," she says. This is so personal because the resurrection is not just a historical event to believe in. It's actually a person to encounter. The person of Jesus Christ. At its heart, Easter is very simple. Jesus was dead and now he's alive. And that changes everything. Because it means death is not the end. It means that sin does not have the final word. It means that failure does not mark your life and is not the end of your story. God has done something new. You may remember the story, the Narnia Chronicles, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. Has anyone read those books or seen the films? I'm sure you've either read or seen the films. There's a powerful moment in that film where Aslan, the great lion, gives his place, his life in place of Edmund. So he's killed on the stone table. And it looks like evil has won the day. So I'd like to show you a short clip from the movie now, actually, just to jog your memory if you've seen it.
We should go. So cold. Aslan. What have they done? Aslan! But we saw the knife. The witch.
If the witch knew the true meaning of sacrifice, she might have interpreted the deep magic differently. That when a willing victim who has committed no treachery is killed in a traitor's stead, the stone table will crack, and even death itself would turn backwards.
Sorry about the bang. So everything felt lost. It looked like the end, it felt like a complete defeat. And then suddenly life breaks in. Not just a return to how things were before, but something new, something fresh. The book goes on to describe how winter starts to melt, how the spring comes, and how joy is breaking back into the world. That's what Easter is about. Mary comes to the tomb expecting to find death, but instead she finds life. She comes looking for a body, but she leaves having met the risen Jesus. And that's the turning point of Easter. Most of us didn't come to church today expecting a life-changing moment. We've come because it's Easter. We've come maybe because someone's invited us. We've come because perhaps we come every Easter. Mary wasn't expecting the resurrection either, but she met Jesus anyway. And the same Jesus who met with Mary on that first Easter morning at the tomb is still alive today. And he's still calling people by name today. Still meeting people in unexpected moments. Still turning grief into hope. You may have noticed that the risen Jesus that we read about in the Gospels doesn't first appear to the rich or to the famous, to those people who seem important or impressive. He appears first to a woman standing outside the tomb crying. And that tells us you don't have to have it all together to meet with Jesus. You just have to be there. Just have to be available. So this Easter, perhaps the question isn't, do I understand everything? But simply, am I open to the possibility that Jesus is truly alive and wants to meet with me too? Because Easter is not just about what happened then. It's about what could begin right now, today. Mary went to the tomb in the dark. She left in the light. Not because everything in her life suddenly became easy, but because she had seen the risen Lord. And that made all the difference. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.